Brothers and sisters, our first scripture lesson comes from the book of Exodus. Exodus 34, verses 29 through 35, found on page 142 of your pew Bible. Hear the word of the Lord. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him. And Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining, and Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. This is the word of the Lord. Our second scripture lesson comes from the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through chapter 4, verse 2. And that's on Pew Bible page 1797. May you hear God's word. Listen then, we have such a hope. We act with great boldness, not like Moses who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant, that same veil is there, since only in Christ is it set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from the one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we command ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. This is the word of our Lord, brothers and sisters. Please pray with me. Gracious God, your word tells of the light and glory of being in your presence. Lord, be in our reading of this word. May we be in your presence this day. May your word light our hearts and guide our decisions as we go forth to live and serve, as we go forth to bring the light of Christ into this world, reflected as a mirror, but still reflected into this world. Be with us, O Lord, as we listen to what you are saying to your church. In your name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, today is Transfiguration Sunday. And there's this element where I absolutely love the snow outside right now. Now, let me cross the bridge and get you there before you kind of go, Think of how bright it is. As at the start of this morning, we stood by the window and you could feel the warmth of the sun shining off of the ground, reflecting the sun. Think about that as we go forward, how the sun is so bright and it's reflecting. Now, we can't get confused about Transfiguration Sunday since the church can't quite agree about when to celebrate it. The Catholic and Orthodox festivals of the Transfiguration tend to fall in August. And the Protestant church as well, we celebrate at the end of Epiphany. We celebrate as Epiphany closes, as Shrove Tuesday, Ash Wednesday, and Lent are almost here. That's when we celebrate this. It performs this great moment where we celebrate God's glory, the glory of God shining out in us as we prepare to walk the journey of Lent, as we see Christ walk the path all the way to his trial, his death, and his resurrection. Today we celebrate the full glory of Christ, the fullness of God's glory in Christ. We see a glimpse of what that means today. Normally we read one of the accounts where Jesus goes up the mountain and he visits with Elijah and Moses. And he comes down shining brightly. I mean, imagine how bright Jesus had shone. Almost with a luminescence to him, dazzling white. And then the voice echoes out, "This is my son." It's one of those great shifting moments. And then Peter, being Peter in the middle of all of this, says, "Jesus, I got this great idea. We're going to build 3 houses, one for each of you guys, and we'll be..." Whoa, wait. Peter, again, gets that excitement in the moment as the glory of God shines out in Christ. But he doesn't want to do what Christ knows needs to be done. Peter wants to stay in the moment, stay in that place. And Christ knows that the mission is not fully complete and much needs to be going on. But as we think about that scripture, as that reading, we need to also look at a similar moment with one of the men he meets on the mountain, with Moses. Now, when Moses goes up to get the second set of commandments, remember when he came down with the first set, there was that whole incident with the golden calf, and he took the tablets and smashed them. This is the second time he's gone up. And now he comes down, having been in God's presence, sat with God, talked with God, and he is glowing. He's glowing. He's radiant in complexion. Now, we think of the word glowing, and for me, I always think of when my mom would talk about when she had us 4 kids and how she loved that pregnancy glow. Not the same thing. Because when we read more of this passage, this is more as if Moses' face has beams of light coming from it. Beams of light. This isn't one of those joyous moments where you walk in and a room lights up. This is literally where you walk into a room and it lights up. This is the moment where being in the very presence of God, you know, the fact of the matter is, Moses is beaming like a flashlight almost. And when we say the word glow, when we think about glow, we don't understand that it means rays of light in the Hebrew. Rays of light coming off of his face. You think about the intensity of the ray of light coming off your face. The intensity that the glory of God, being in God's presence, does to Moses. He just sits there and is told the covenant. And he comes down from the mountain with rays of light shining forth from his face. And it happens in such a way that his own brother and all the people of Israel are terrified by it. This is the middleman for the people of Israel, that connection point for God. And his very being in the presence of God has created a point of fear amongst the people because of what happens when he is in the presence of God. Some might say it's a side effect that he's in the presence of God, you know. A side effect, but I call beams of light coming off of your face an effect. But you think of that effect. You think about what happens when you're in the presence of God. Is this a normal thing? I would expect something like this. You sit down with God, with our God, the power that is in that moment, wherever you are. If you're in a room with God, that room has just got to be overflowing with power, with everything. And here it manifests in the beams of light coming off of Moses' face. Now the Israelites use this as a way to gauge and tell. It's their litmus test for if Moses has talked with God. So when Moses gives them a commandment, they can kind of say, glowing. No. Okay, Moses, we're not listening to that. You go and talk to God and we'll listen. Or, is he glowing? Really? It's one of those things. You can tell he had talked to God because of that. But what does Moses do? Because it's what Moses does that stands out so much in this story. When we read of Christ, the glory of God shines out in him. He is owning it. He is living it. He is bright and there. Even the response of the disciples is so out there. Peter's overjoyed by seeing this. He's like, hey, let's build some houses. Whereas Aaron and the people of Israel are like, they're afraid of Moses. Because of the reality of that brightness, that glory, that residual glory from God. Imagine what it is to sit in the very presence of God, to be in the presence of that greatness, that glory. As close as we can really tell, it's greater than the greatest moment where we sit with someone we know. That person that lifts us up. That person who just being with them and talking with them lightens our load. Now think about that and think of how much more so it is with God. You see, when I think of that person who always lightens your load, I think of my great uncle Ted Kazicki. Uncle Ted was always that guy. Maybe it was through having 4 kids or 19 grandkids, 2 of which he lost when they were very young or before birth. Maybe it's, as my grandfather speculated, it came from being married to my Aunt Mary. Maybe it's just because of who he was. But no matter how bad life was, Uncle Ted was always unburdened. You'd sit down and say, "How are you doing, Uncle Ted?" "Oh, I've been worse." "Uncle Ted, you just had 3 strokes and you're barely able to walk." "Oh, the grandkids came by and they outfitted my walker. I've got a horn, I've got mirrors. I got to see the grandkids, and isn't that great, Bill?" Okay. In those moments where you sit down with him and he had umpteen heart attacks, umpteen problems, and you sit down and you say, "How are you, Uncle Ted?" "I'm okay. How are you? How are you guys doing? I know it's not easy because your grandpa's been in the hospital and in the nursing home." He just, no matter what, cared so much and had that ease of care, that ease of being in the presence. No matter how bad your day was when you saw Uncle Ted, it got that much better. And imagine that Uncle Ted in your life, and imagine what it is to be in God's presence when God is so much more than that one person we know. But the residual for God of being in God's presence isn't just a lighter load. It's the residual of God's glory. It's that residual that happens to us. Now, when Uncle Ted happens, you feel a lighter load. When Moses sits in the presence of God, he gets shining with rays of light off of his face. But then something goes wrong. Because when Moses is supposed to go to the people and them have that Uncle Ted residual moment, that moment where they see Moses' face and have that feeling of, "Oh my gosh, Moses was with God." And this ease of moment, this relieving of the burden that their leader has been speaking with God, they are uncomfortable. They have a dis-ease in the community because of what God's glory means. Instead of shining the light of God, their dis-ease causes Moses to cover up God's glory, that residual glory that shines out. Moses veils his face because the light of God's glory shining through him made people afraid and uncomfortable. In our scripture from the second letter to the Corinthians, we see kind of a comparison. Moses against Jesus. Moses covers his face with an almost timidness, trying to assuage the fears of the community, placing a barrier there, a physical barrier between the glory of God and the community of faithful believers. But Christ goes forth and shines without any barriers. Barriers come in many different ways. Tuesday, we had barriers of wood and silicone with tape on it, and it was to keep cars in their right lanes. We have barriers between your pews of wood. We have pew doors that can close and provide a barrier. Barriers are there. But the one place that a barrier shouldn't be is between us and the Most High, between us and God. And yet, it's there sometimes. It's there too often. Scripture calls it, there's a barrier of the law, specifically, in its legality, which was a tool, but a barrier blocking people from a full understanding of the beauty and radiance of God's glory. The reality of God's glory is an interesting thing. We sing of it, we praise it, we announce it joyfully, but do we understand it? You think of God's glory in these moments in Scripture, when Christ is in this moment where his glory shines out and shines forth, when Moses sits in the presence of God, and God's glory is so great that it's reflected in rays of light beaming from his face. Think of the glory and wonder of creation, and how beautiful and wonderful it is, and how that shows how great God is, because even in the slightest way, we can see a glimmer of God's glory. As Paul writes, it's like a mirror reflecting the glory of God. Not perfectly, but reflecting. And yet, as Paul does write, that reflecting of God's glory does transform us, little by little, bit by bit, towards that image of having a greater glory ourselves. The hard part for us is, what do we do in response to experiencing the glory of God? What do we do when God's glory is doing that act of transformation in our lives? How do we respond to God's glory in our lives, in our world? How do we respond? It's really easy to look at what Moses did and how he put on a veil to assuage the community, to lessen their discomfort, and almost beat him up for it. It's always easy to say, oh, we would never do that. But life is never easy as it is when it's in the realm of speculation and possibility. It's one thing to say that we would never do something and we would act completely different until we're on that road in that moment doing that same thing. It's easy to see where Moses, wearing that veil, blocking the myriad radiance of God, and it's easy for us to say, oh, we wouldn't do that. But it's much, much harder for us to say in that moment when we ourselves are called to radiate and reflect God's glory and do. It's really easy to sing the song, "This Little Light Is Mine," and get to that point where you sing, "Hide It Under a Bushel," and shout out, "No." It's even harder to not hide it under the bushel when reality hits. It's a different story for us living out and living into. Brothers and sisters, the reality is that God's glory is shining forth in each of us. That mirror of God's glory in our world is each of us. That light is shining here and now through all of us. But the question we have to answer is, what are we going to do? Are we going to allow others' dis-ease and discomfort to cause us to veil that glory, to diminish it, to lessen it, to hide it? Or are we going to let it shine out and shine forth like Christ did? What will we do? My hope and prayer is that we will find a way to let Christ's light be reflected in this world through us. Amen. Brothers and sisters, just a reminder, as you exit the sanctuary today, don't forget to drop off your offering.